Okay, so we're holding the Maseches Rosh Hashanah, the first perek. We're up to Mishnah Zayin, and we're not going to talk about Edom, witnesses, and their testimony. So, just a moment of background. In terms of, so I guess the question will be in this Mishnah if relatives or freed slaves are kosher for witness to give testimony in terms of Kiddush HaChodesh, in terms of testifying this all the new moon. But just a moment of background. When it comes to most kind of testimony that's required, is required either for what's called nefashos, you know, like capital cases, or mamonos, financial cases. You know, you bring the witnesses to testify on the situation so they can rule, the Beis Din can rule to punish, execute, or award money. So there are actually 10 categories of people who are hustle as Edim to give testimony as for either for nefashos or momonos, those kind of cases. Let me just go through all 10 first, then these next Mishnahs will revisit some of them. At least you see the whole picture here. The first category is women. Women are not kosher to give testimony for nefashos or edus. These are all enough from Pesukim. I don't want to go into that much depth here. But the point is, first category, women can't give testimony for such cases. We'll see that women can testify in certain things. We'll see that later on. But they're not normally kosher witnesses. And the second is, and I guess people at this point, I should speak out. People sometimes get bugged out by this. It's not enough from Pesukim, for whatever reason, Hashem saw fit to do it that way. It's not the point that women aren't believed, per se. It's a technicality. The same way that, we'll see in a second, that relatives, we learned, even Moshe and Aaron, the two brothers, couldn't weren't kosher witnesses as a pair. Probably didn't believe them, but it's a technicality. So similarly, women, for whatever reason, because they're in Sakasa, we learned that they can't give testimony either. That's the first category. Second category is an Eved Kanani. That means a slave, a non-Jewish slave, who moves into a Jewish home and becomes part of the home. We said they actually get meal already. They're circumcised and they're sort of like quasi-Jews. And actually, as we'll see in the Mishnah here, once you free an Eved Kanani, he becomes like a Jew. Yeah, he becomes a Jew through the back door. So while they're... A Jewish slave is already a full-blown Jew. He got into servitude from like essentially like debtor's prison. You know, he couldn't pay his debts, or he was a thief and he couldn't pay the obligations, so now he becomes like an indentured servant, but he's a full-blown Jew and he has all the mitzvahs on him. And an Eved Kanani, a non-Jewish servant, becomes like a Jew who's, becomes like a quasi-Jew, whatever you call it, a non-Jew but halfway, who's already obligated in all the mitzvahs that women are obligated in, which is most mitzvahs. We said there are a total of 14 mitzvahs that women are exempt from, 8 because of Zman Groma and 6 other ones. So an Eved Kanani, even though he's like a whatever he is, halfway Jewish, halfway not, is not kosher as a witness. If you free him, however, he will be kosher, as we'll see later on. We'll get into the details of that Machlokas Tanaim in a second. The third category are Ketanim, minors. If a person hasn't reached the age of majority, which is, it's always written as for a boy 13 years old and a day. I don't know if you've seen it, and a girl 12 years old and a day. Don't get so bugged down by that. The reason why is because if you're born on the 15th of Av, so then a year later, and it's the next year, 15th of Av, really,
it's the day.
A whole year plus one day is passed, right?
14th,
exactly. It's like I'm thinking in the English calendar, from the 1st of January to the 1st of January is 366 days. So that's the point. One is, so on their birthday, we call their birthday, after the 13th birthday, on and after the 13th birthday for boys and 12th birthday for girls, they become kosher for witnesses. Before that, they're not kosher for witnesses. Although they can do other things beyond the scope of our Mishnah right here, but for example, they can make nedarim when they're younger, for a year younger, but for when, so therefore they have some power with their words, but it's edom, they're not kosher. Third category is a shota. Shotim are people who lack certain mental facilities. We discussed it, I think, before, we had definitely discussed it before. For the second, I don't remember where. I think it was my truma we discussed. They can't, they make truma. A shota is not, it's not, it's often translated by one of these words that are used to describe their technicalities in terms of people's IQ, like imbecile or something like that, however they translate. That's not what a shota is. A shota isn't someone who lacks intelligence, per se. It's someone who really doesn't understand the consequences of their action, or doesn't understand the consequences of how the world works. So the Gemara gives examples like, you give them something of value and they destroy it. Or they don't get it. Or they do things to endanger their lives. They sleep in cemeteries. You know, they do things that are they show they don't really, they're not 100% with it.
You mean Das is intelligence, or you've got a specific word in
I don't get this. No, well, the halacha defines like that. It's certainly not. These things are lacking in das. But I don't get into the.
No, they
don't have das. They don't have das. Yeah, they don't have das. But I want to, like a child also doesn't have das. But that means das means like you get it. So you don't just understand conceptually, but you don't get practically how things work. So that's the idea of ashota. So in other words, the point is that a person with Down syndrome may not be a shota. That's my point here. Whereas a mad scientist, you know, may be a shota. I understand. Okay, fine. The fifth case is a cheresh. A cheresh is someone who's, it's a deaf mute. We also saw this in Psachim, I think we saw it. When the Torah usually says cheresh, it means someone who's congenitally deaf. He was born deaf or became deaf very young. And therefore, he's also a mute. He doesn't speak because he never heard people speak. So how could he possibly speak also? Although, funnily enough, this man is since the time of Helen Keller, they do train them to speak. But in any case, a cheresh, someone who's deaf, is considered to be also lacking das, and therefore will not be able to be kosher as a witness. If they became deaf later in life, though, then they are kosher. So again, the proxy of that is they can't speak or they can speak. But the point is, if they information got in when they were younger, now they just no longer can hear, so it doesn't mean that they lack intelligence or das, they have it, they just no longer can hear anymore, their ears are broken. Right. Yeah.
Has there been any issue with regard to modern technology for those people? Now that they're hearing this?
Halach l'maisa, how? Well, again, if a person goes deaf, he's still a kosher witness. It's if he goes deaf, then the information went in already, and he could. It's the point is he never heard anything, so he's like I don't know what you call it, mentally uncultivated, whatever you call it. But he's nothing's gone in, so he's not considered to be capable. Only if he's born that way.
No, what
he's
asking is that somebody who's born deaf.
Tell me
the name with medical.
Oh, here's again.
I'm paying the day.
Oh, I can't imagine.
I'm paying the day. I don't. Had a person born deaf, but now.
Well, they're not deaf anymore, are they?
Have the modern technology,
but then,
they're really not deaf.
Yeah, but they're not deaf, so they're not deaf. They're not deaf. I don't know that for 100% certain. I haven't seen like a tshuva, but it's inconceivable to me. If they can hear, they can hear. They're not deaf anymore. Right? And they'd be kosher. Okay, the sixth category is a summa. That's a blind person. The person's blind, and they're not kosher witnesses. Okay, yeah? Yeah, exactly. It sort of goes without saying, I guess. Number seven is a Rasha. We'll revisit this more in a second, but a Rasha on a Torah level, the apostle for Edus Medoraisa, is someone, Rasha means a wicked person, but it means someone who is over Averas that carry with them the penalty of Malchus, or worse than that. So they're over more severe crimes. Or Geneva and Gazela, they're thieves. Okay, so these people are considered a Rasha, and they're bad people, we don't trust them, certainly not the testimony. Okay? We'll revisit Rishayim Midrabban later on in the Mishnayos. Okay. The eighth category are Bezuyim. Bezui means like disgraced people. But these are people who basically, essentially, I would define as a lacking self-respect. The Gemara gives cases which may or may not really like resonate with us today. Like it talks about people who's someone who eats in the shuk, which, okay, like we don't get that today. But that's considered like very, like a lowly thing to do.
No self-respect.
Yeah, no self-respect. The other example given, I told you my Victor Miller story, right? I did not mind the story. That someone was eating a, I don't remember the story, he's eating a granola bar or a cupcake or something in the street. And Victor Miller said to him, you know, like Gemara says, the person who eats in the shuk, that's like he's like a dog. So he said, yeah, but that's, so the guy responded, yeah, that's only if you wash for bread, you know, like, you know, walk around. And this is just whatever it was, a cookie. So he said, okay, so you're just a puppy. But Chazal looked at it as very lacking in self-respect to do that. The other example given, which maybe could relate to more, is people who essentially work, they like take off their shirts and so on when they work because they get sweaty. So the point is, like, if you can walk around with a shirt on, like, you don't have some sense of self-respect, so we don't trust you as being a heavy person to give proper aid.
A question about that.
I don't know the answer to Lachlan Maisa. I'm not a Dayan. No, I really don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, can I, if I could just throw the question out there. Not topless, not without a shirt completely, but taking off like a dress shirt and sitting in a...
I don't know.
...perfume a t-shirt.
Lachlan, I don't know. Certainly it's based on societal norms. I don't think it's considered society abnormal to walk around a t-shirt today in the proper place. And even, there's a famous story about Rav Eliashiv on a beach, like with just his bathing suit on, whatever, like I don't know what, how many years ago it's from. He's an old man today. Anyways, the point is, if it's appropriate, it's not on tzniyah, it's not, that's not the point. The point is, you don't walk around the shuk without a shirt on. What considers not a shirt? But you get the point. I think it's all societal, what's normal. Person, if you mishai, this person has no self-respect, so then you don't trust them as an aid also. Okay? The ninth category are krovim, these are relatives. Learned from the psukim that even Moshe and Aaron couldn't give testimony, so they can't either. Any relatives? I'll discuss a little bit how far the relatives have to be later on. Okay? And the tenth category is people who are nogea beidusan. You know, if you have an agenda, if you have an obvious bias to which side wins or what the outcome of the case, then you're possible for an aid. So those 10 categories of people can't give edus any time you're talking about either mamonos and nefashos, but now we're going to explore a few of those possibilities with Kiddush HaChodesh, because edus for the Chodesh, testifying about the new moon, is like not really those heavy things of execution or appropriating money. So we'll discuss now those. I should speak up for 1 second, that a ger, a convert, and an eved meshuchrar, a freed slave, are kosher for edus. We'll see in a second that there is a machlokas floating around about that, but lahalacha they are kosher. We're going to revisit those issues now. Okay, so let's start off. Mishnah Zion says, "Av ubeno, you have a father and a son. Shiro es achodesh, and the two of them saw the new moon." Okay, so yelchu, both of them should go, even if that means going on Shabbos, Machal Shabbos, they should go together. Not because the two can give edus together, because they're krovim, and krovim are pasul, they're relatives, and relatives are pasul from giving edus. If one of the two of them end up being disqualified for whatever reason, then the second guy, you know, the son, or the father, the one that the surviving witness who wasn't disqualified, can team up, can partner up with the second person to now have two people giving edus. There's a bit of a technicality here, which I don't want to really get bogged down to so much. We'll explore it in the beginning of Makkos, but they had to not have in mind when they went to the Edom that they were a package deal. Because when it comes to a pair of Edom, if you're mevatel miktsasim, if you ruin part of them, then you ruin the whole team. They're all both puzzle. So it has to be that they both came with the mind, like we'll each go as two individuals, and we'll team up with the second person if need be. They can't have mind they're being a team of Edom together, otherwise it wouldn't work. A technical point. Okay, Reb Shimon Omer.
One is not disqualified, and then the third person comes. They can choose one. In other words, it says here one is disqualified, the other one.
If yeah, so the father and son will go, and if and they'll, the father they can't do it together, but the father and a third person.
So either one can go with as long as a third person.
Right.
Both they're not disqualified.
Right. The reason both are going is because one of them may become disqualified for whatever reason. Okay. Reb Shimon Omer, Av ubeno v'kola krovin k'sherin le'edus ha'chodesh. Reb Shimon disagrees. He says when it comes to Kiddush HaChodesh, this is something different than Mamonos and the Fashos, and even to a father and son or two brothers and so on could give testimony. He learns it from the very pasuk. It says, "Ha'chodesh hazeh lachem," this Chodesh will be for you, and Hashem was talking to Moshe Aaron. So you see that even Moshe and Aaron could, he learns they could, they were kosher to be edim for this. That would be unique to Chodesh Zelachem, to sanctifying the moon, but certainly would not apply to Mamonos and Nefashos. They can't be Edom in other categories, but for Kiddush HaChodesh, it's an exception to the rule. Says Reb Shimon, how the Halacha does not follow him. Rav Yossi says, Maisa, once upon a time it happened. But Tuvia HaRofe, Tuvia the doctor, Shira Es HaChodesh B'Yushalayim. He was in Jerusalem and he saw the new moon, and it wasn't just him. Hu Uvano V'Avdo Meshuchrar. He and two other people saw with him his son and his freed slave. He had a non-Jewish slave who he had subsequently freed. So there were three of them. Him, his son, and his non-Jewish slave. And now they all went to go testify and see who would team up. The kiblu ha-kohanim, this is Mishnah always through me. It's not so complicated, but focus up here. The kiblu ha-kohanim oso ve'esbano. So when they showed up to the Beis HaMikdash and they said, "We're here to come to the Sanhedrin to give our testimony," the Kohanim said, "Who are you guys?" Like, you know, like the, I don't know if they were gatekeepers or know-it-alls or just people talking to them. They said, "Who are you guys?" So he said, "You know, I'm Tovia, and this is my son, and this is my Eben Meshuchra, my freed slave." So they said, "V'kiblu Kohanim," like they accepted also Tovia the father, "V'es Beno." And they paskin like Rabbi Shimon. They said, "You and your son can come. You and your son can come in." Upaskul es avda. They said, "Your Eved Meshuchrar is not kosher." Okay. Tosus explains they learned that, like Rabbi Shimon also, that it says lachem, machodesh zeh lachem. So the drasha, a second drasha is that it's kamoschem. It has to be like you. Kamoschem means like you. The darshan lachem means this month will be people like you. And what does it mean? Yeah, from Zer Yisrael, Jewish have Jewish blood inside of you. So if you're a convert or a Eved Meshuchrar, which is like a quasi convert, then you're pasul. So it's, in other words, according to the Kohanim and Rabbi Shimon, they have a kula and a chumra. The kula is they accept relatives, but the chumra is they won't accept a freed slave or anyone else who doesn't come from Jewish stock by birth. Okay. However, see, I don't know what the story is exactly, but you see, the Kohanim's opinion made no darn difference because they were ushered into the Sanhedrin regardless. Ukshabal l'vnei basin. See, they ended up schlepping him into the Sanhedrin anyways. Kiblu also ves avdo, and the Sanhedrin said the Kohanim got it all wrong. No, they accepted Tuvia and his eved, the ex eved, right? Upasul is beno. They rejected the son because they hold like the Tanakama. Also, see, also kul and chumra, that they reject the drasha about lachem allowing relatives. He says no, only no father and son. However, they accept someone who's not from Zer Yisrael, who's not born Jewish, who's a convert, or in this case, Neved Meshuchrar, that is acceptable as an aid. That's how we pass it.